out with us all Football Friday long in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Lopez, Reginald Atula, and Byron Matthews, who's been in for Figgy. Appreciate you doing your fine work, Byron. Real quick, before we hand it off to the fellas at around the sports bar in the Heights, let's go ahead and draft the weekend as we typically do on a Friday heading into the weekend. And I believe Lopez.
No, it's your turn.
I go first. I have the first pick. And
you gonna do it to me again?
I am going to not be a jerk.
Okay.
Because I want to take the game tonight. Boise State, UNLV.
Oh, wow.
Big time group of five, or I guess whatever we're calling it now, non-power conference matchup, and an opportunity to see Ashton Gentry get back to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to be a good one. I want to see that one.
Yeah, it's going to be maybe the best game of the weekend in terms of just level of play and stakes involved. Nevertheless, I am going to take... with my first pick, LSU at Texas A&M.
Big time
stakes there. Talk about stakes.
Yeah, man. I think that's going to be a really fun one. In the two-hole for me, I will go ahead and select tonight as well.
Dang it.
Rockets, Grizzlies.
Oh.
No, I want to let you watch your favorite team. I will take Rockets, Grizzlies. I think, again, this is another interesting test for your Rockets team. Plus, I think the juxtaposition of Jalen Green directly next to Ja Morant will be interesting. Maybe Jalen Green looks and sees, hey, okay, some of those things. All I would like to take down notes on trying to do some of that stuff.
That's like when a guy drafts a quarterback first in fantasy football.
Yes.
I'm going to take Yankees at Dodgers.
Because I wanted to facilitate that for you.
It's going to be Yankees at Dodgers. That's going to be a fun series. I don't care what anybody says. It's going to be fun to watch.
Of course, it's worth noting that with all of this, we anticipate that everyone is interested in Texans Colts. So that is not on the table. But in the midday time slot on that Sunday, give me Bills at Seahawks. I want to see just that game continue. Those are two teams that have had some kind of like a wiggle room in there in how good that they are, although they both have good capabilities. I think that's a really fun matchup. I'd like to see it.
I got another one for you here, and that is going to be Notre Dame versus Navy noon on Saturday. Let's see what those midshipmen have got, and we'll find out soon enough.
And I will steal a game that I know you want. Let me get the Big Ten matchup. Washington at Indiana, or sorry, 9 or 10 Windiana, Kurt Cignetti's team. Yeah, just I'm gonna hop on the wave. Kurt Cignetti has done a great job with that program. I love what they're doing there, and I think they provide some really interesting kind of general college football conversation.
And my last one will be between Missouri, Alabama, and World Series Game 2. Give me Missouri at Alabama. That might get interesting right there.
Yeah, I think that's fun as well. All right, before we head over to the guys in the Heights, I did want to, Byron, you have this audio for me because we talked to our guy, Andy Kalu, on Thursday, and I'm super, like, I thought the question, I was just trying to see what he thought, and he gave us a really interesting answer, and it's about just the ways that we've seen condensed formations with Bobby Slowick, and, you know, we got Andy as our new defensive consultant for this Texans offense, and we asked him, like, hey, you know, about this, what would you do when it comes to, like, these condensed formations?
I'll say this, with the type of receivers and the type of playmakers they have, and when you factor in Joe Mixon, what he can do out of the backfield as a pass catcher, as a running back, I am surprised that they don't run more spread. I'm surprised that they don't spread it out a little bit more. You know, when you have a guy like Tank Dell, obviously when you have a guy like Diggs, we know Nico Collins is out, but with those quick, twitchy, fast guys that you just want to get them the ball in open space, if I'm a defensive coordinator or now a defensive consultant, when I'm watching the offense, I'm going to Slowick and I'm saying, you know what? When you're in this personnel and you spread it out, and when you motion, I don't want to get too technical, but if you motion Tank Dell here, now I'm going to be forced to have a safety on him, and that's a bad matchup. So those are some of the, if I was a defensive-minded consultant coming in to kind of give my point of view to the offense and the offensive coordinator, I would be looking at it at ways to figure out, no matter what adjustments I make, you're going to put Tank Dell on a safety, or even better yet, Tank Dell on a linebacker. I'll be trying to show him, no matter what calls I'm making, these are the bad matchups for me, and you have to spread it out. You have to, what we call, explode the personnel. When everybody's bunched in, it's easy to read it off.
And that's one of the things that, you know, you mentioned it as well. I totally agree. It might be one of the things that you know, Bobby Slowick is going to have to adjust, because as you just heard from ND, it makes it a lot easier in certain situations when you're that compact like that.
Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting insight, and I kind of want to see how our guys on the drive felt about that. our guys Clint and Ron, who are out at Taquerias Arandas in the Heights, Arandas Sports Bar. Fellas, did y'all happen to hear what Indy had there, and what were the thoughts if you did catch it?
I heard him talking about things with Tank Dell and trying to find matchups and ways for him.
Yeah, he was we asked him about kind of the condensed formations that Slowick has been dealing with, and he said if he was serving, like, you know, Saleh is the defensive minded consultant up there in Green Bay now, if he was serving as that, he would be, recommending spreading this out and using guys like Tank Dell and being able to use those motions now to manipulate matchups, as you mentioned there.
They've got to get him going. I'll be honest with you. It is so weird. And Lopez, I know you were there to see it a lot during training camp. Last year and this year, but especially last year, I am really surprised they have to do so many things to get Tank Dell open and to get Tank Dell space, because he was so good at doing that on his own and just regular coverage. We saw nobody came close to separating the way that he did last year. So it is a little surprising you have to do that. But clearly what we're seeing, man, they got to get him involved. And I think they got to get him involved early. And if you've got to move him around and move him in the slot and create space in a way that maybe you didn't think you had to a couple of weeks ago, then you got to do it. But I think it is imperative that he gets going.
Man, that's such a good point. I'm sorry, Clint, but that's such a good point, because and maybe you can tie into this, Clint. He's one guy that you don't think you would have to create anything. Like, he creates it on his own. He's such a great route runner.
Yeah, look, I don't know, what the answer is. I watching that film last week, the inability to separate, I just didn't think that would ever be a Tank Dell issue, you know. And it's been so difficult really all year long to get beyond the protection issues. I mean, even the good games that CJ's had, it's been a lot of scramble and make plays. I don't know that outside of a couple of Nico Collins plays and a couple of Tank Diggs plays, like how many drives they had where the ball's out on time, guys have space, guys are making catches and run after catch kind of deal. It's been a mess really all year long, relatively speaking. But look, I don't, to y'all's point, like I think this game is bigger for Tank Dell, the individual, than any other individual on the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with something here where if Tank Dell has another game where maybe it's not zero catches, 0 yards, but if it's not impacting the game in a big way, if there's another drop along the way and it's kind of ho-hum, it's going to be how quick can we get Nico back and put him back in that he's just a gadget guy and he's just going to be an afterthought. Mm-hmm. He's got to play big and he's got to make plays and he's got to change the game. He's got to be a guy that CJ can depend on in critical moments. Like, this is a monster game for several guys after last week, but it is absolutely huge for Tank Dell.
Yeah, I think that you put that perfectly. I'm excited to hear more of that, but I don't want to
figure than anybody else.
Who else you got?
Yeah,
maybe Dalton Schultz.
I thought those five jokers in front.
Last week was bigger for Dalton Schultz. He done that ship has sailed, boy. They got Tegan Quatoriano Cade Stover taking his reps.
Yeah.
You said them five jokers up front, and one of the things that I've been talking about with Lopez is, all right, if you magically got just a fantastic game out of them, wouldn't you still have questions for them? Some of those, like, yo, where has that been?
Yeah.
You know? Or is it just the Colts that you can do this again?
Oh, yeah, as a unit, yeah, the offensive line is clearly, this is a monster for them. I'm talking individual. The operative word there, individual. Like, individually, it'll be an afterthought. You know, because we're working on a damn near eight games of it, and the other thing is you're fixing to get one of the best receivers in football back, and you've got a guy making $22 million that's been one of the most targeted, most productive receivers in football the last 5 years. I mean, you get your opportunity, and he's had a handful of them this year, and you don't show up and show out. I mean, it's that wide receiver room's hard to crack the lineup, man.
Yeah.